Audio podcast for creating and publishing digital media. Into the Wild by John Krakauer. Chapter 1. Jim Gallion had driven 4 miles out of Fairbanks when he spotted the hitchhiker standing in the snow beside the road, thumb raised high, shivering in the grey Alaska dawn. He didn't appear to be very old, 18, maybe 19 at most. A rifle protruded from the young man's backpack, but he looked friendly enough. A hitchhiker with a Remington semi-automatic isn't the sort of thing that gives motorists pause in the 49th state. Gallion steered his truck onto the shoulder and told the kid to climb in. The hitchhiker swung his pack into the bed of the Ford and introduced himself as Alex. Alex, Gallion responded, fishing for a last name. Just Alex, the young man replied, pointedly rejecting the bait. 5'7" or 5'8" with a whirly build. He claimed to be 24 years old and said he was from South Dakota. He explained that he wanted to ride as far as the edge of Denali National Park, where he intended to walk deep into the bush and live off the land for a few months. Gallion, a union electrician, was on his way to Anchorage, 240 miles beyond Denali and the George Parks Highway. He told Alex he'd drop him off wherever he wanted. Alex's backpack looked as though it weighed only 25 or 30 pounds. Which struck Gallion, an accomplished hunter and woodsman, as an improbably light load for a stay of several months in the backcountry, especially so early in the spring. He wasn't carrying anywhere near as much food and gear as you'd expect a guy to be carrying for that kind of trip, Gallion recalls. The sun came up. As they rolled down from the forested ridges above the Tanana River, Alex gazed across the expanse of windswept muskeg stretching to the south. Gallion wondered whether he'd picked up one of those crackpots from the lower 48 who come north to live out ill-considered Jack London fantasies. Alaska has long been a magnet for dreamers and misfits, people who think the unsullied enormity of the last frontier will patch all the holes in their lives. The bush is an unforgiving place. However, that cares nothing for hope or longing. People from outside, reports Gallion in a slow, sonorous drawl. They'll pick up a copy of Alaska magazine, thumb through it, get to thinking, hey, I'm going to get on up there, live off the land, go claim me a piece of the good life. But when they get here and actually head out into the bush, well, it isn't like the magazines make it out to be. The rivers are big and fast, mosquitoes will eat you alive. Most places, there aren't a lot of animals to hunt. Living in the bush isn't no picnic. It was a 2-hour drive from Fairbanks to the edge of Denali Park. The more they talked, the less Alex struck Gallion as a nutcase. He was congenial and seemed well-educated. He peppered Gallion with thoughtful questions about the kind of small game that live in the country, the kinds of berries he would eat, that kind of thing. Still, Gallion was concerned. Alex admitted that the only food in his pack was a 10-pound bag of rice. His gear seemed exceedingly minimal for the harsh conditions of the interior, which in April still lay buried under the winter snowpack. Alex's cheap leather hiking boots were neither waterproof nor well insulated. His rifle was only 22 caliber, a bore too small to rely on if he expected to kill large animals like moose and caribou, which he would have to eat if he hoped to remain very long in the country. He had no axe, no bug rope, no snowshoes, no compass. The only navigational aid in his possession was a tattered state road map he'd scrounged at a gas station. 100 miles out of Fairbanks, the highway begins to climb into the foothills of the Alaska Range. As the truck lurched over a bridge across the Nanana River, Alex looked down at the swift current and remarked that he was afraid of the water. A year ago, down in Mexico, he told Gallion, I was out on the ocean in a canoe and I almost drowned when a storm came up. A little later, Alex put out his crude map and pointed to a dashed red line that intersected the road near the coal mining town of Healy. It represented a route called the Stampede Trail. Seldom travelled, it isn't even marked on most road maps of Alaska. On Alex's map, nevertheless, the broken line meandered west from Parks Highway for 40 miles or so before petering out in the middle of the trackless wilderness north of Mount McKinley. This, Alex announced to Gallion, was where he intended to go.